I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Final hour of Grant and Danny on this Football Friday, and the final hour for your pals in middays, Danny Ruye. Kind of a weird thing to say.
I haven't gotten used to it yet, but maybe I will. I'll have a chance to. Starting Monday, you have to wait a little longer. I'm just going to be walking around, pacing at 10 a.m. and just sort of like pump faking towards the microphone, just sort of forgetting that this is no longer the time that I'm supposed to talk into it. The letter go on at 2, and you, me, and hopefully all of you out there listening in Radioland will be able to check us out 2 to 6:30 every day on 106.7 The Fan.
The show is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. All right, let's get into Washington versus Tampa Bay. So the game kicks off at 8:15 this Saturday night, tomorrow evening, FedEx Field, Landover, Maryland. First playoff game in 5 years. If they win a playoff game, they'll have done so for the first time since January 7th in 2005. Whew, craziness. Who's got to be great on offense? Take the quarterbacks out of it. We can circle back to the Smith and Heinicke conversation at the end of the segment. Give me a player on O that's got to step up for this team tomorrow.
So see if you follow my thinking here. The usual cast of characters, the guys that we know, right, your major players, your McLaurins, your Logan Tomei, your J.D. McKissick, the guys that receive a lot of targets. Let me throw this at you because this is what I believe is the recipe to win the football game. Cam Sims. I think Cam Sims needs the catch and a run. I think Cam Sims needs a back-breaking play where he either gets behind the defense, not likely because that would require one of those deep throws that you read about and see other teams do, but Washington really can't execute. Or if you hit him in stride, it's a catch and run. I think a big play, whether it's a touchdown, a field position changing type play, something big from Cam Sims, an unexpected source, I think has to make kind of a hero play in this game. Go back to that game he had, I think it was like 3 catches for over 100 yards about a month ago where he really burst onto the national scene and said, and we kind of went, well, do we really have a bona fide number two here in that game against the Giants? You need something like that from Cam Sims. So that's the guy that I've got circled.
I love that, and I get it. I think Sims is capable of being a player who can turn a 5-yard throw and a projected 8-yard gain into 25 or 30. We've seen that this year after the catch. Whether it's breaking tackles or, you know, surprisingly with angles, running away from people, even though he might not have great speed. So I could see that. I'm going to roll with the one that got me here, and I'm going to dance with the one that brought me. J.D. McKissick, to me, has to have a big game. And what does that look like, right? I mean, he's not a guy that is going to catch a 75-yard touchdown. That's not a club that he uses in a 18-hole course. But it means that the ball's coming out fast and that you're picking up some positive yards. If he can have one of those 9 or 10 catch, 90 or 105-yard games, it means that on some 3rd and 6s, you're dumping the ball down to him and he's getting to the sticks. Like when their offense operates, J.D. McKissick is a reason why. But I actually kind of look at him almost as if his numbers are the response to their offense being effective. Like, think about it this way, Danny. People talk about the run game all the time. And they say something along the lines of, when this guy gets 20 carries, Washington is fill in the blank. When Steven Davis rushes for 100 yards, the football team is 14-2. Cool. Of course that Antonio Gibson's, you know, three best rushing games are the three wins or that were most decisive this year. Because they had the lead and then they put it away and he started running away with the game, so to speak. I think McKissick is the same way in a lot of ways. Like, on days where their offense is stinking, he's not involved. And when you look back at the end of the game and he had his 9 or 10 catches and is close to 100 yards, it means they sustained drives. It means they picked up first downs. You get those targets and those catches because of a number of plays. There's a difference between running 46 plays and, say, 65 as an offense in terms of what it means to your defense. McKissick is kind of their running game. Not carrying the football, but with those catches for five here, three there, seven there. And that, to me, is going to be the key. It's about shortening the game, sustaining some drives, getting into field goal range a few times, and just keeping it close enough that the defense maybe makes a hero play or two.
I think that's sharp. And that's, you know, that's where their bread's got to be buttered early and often, because you touched on it. Three becomes seven. You know, seven becomes 12. It's drive sustaining. I mean, I think of that one first down on, I think it was a third and long, where Smith did the Smith thing, where he just dumped it off to McKissick, who just outran somebody towards the sideline and towards the sticks and kept the drive going. And what I think Washington would go on to score in that drive. And those are hidden plays. It's not something that's going to stop Chris Collinsworth from talking about the Giants, but it was a major thing in that ball game. What about on the defensive side of the ball? Is there somebody that comes to mind, or we're going to do that next?
We can do that in a minute, and if you want to go there now, we can. I've got one other guy on offense, though, that I want to bounce off of you.
Give me one more.
You've come around this year since the start of the season, I'd say, on Logan Thomas. Fair?
Oh, without a doubt. Yes,
okay.
100%.
At the beginning of the year, and I still don't think he's like some athletic weapon or monster, a guy that can take over a game or anything like that. But third highest catch total in the league in receptions at 72, 670 yards. And by the way, I don't know if you saw this news. The Eagles just signed Tyree Jackson and are converting him to tight end. Tyree Jackson, if people aren't familiar, was a quarterback at Buffalo, and he was the quarterback of the XFL's DC Defenders. He and Cardell Jones basically split time this year. But they're converting him to tight end. So it tells me
they're doing the water boy bit.
They really liked what they saw out of Logan Thomas. But it's the same kind of deal. Like, Thomas is 6'6", Tyree Jackson 6'7". They're both around 250 to 260. Maybe they saw that and they went, you know who's a really good athlete who can't play quarterback in this league? Tyree Jackson. What if
we had
him?
Smart guys that have to learn offenses, you know? It's like
totally.
That's an asset. I do think that's something. So for Logan Thomas, before I let you kind of wax poetic about him, has really come on strong. I mean, I think at the start of the season, he was not a particularly great tight end, you know, or even a good one, or maybe even adequate at this
point. But he was heavily utilized, you know?
And I think they knew what they had, to be honest. You think so? Because to me, I give him credit more for identifying, or less credit for identifying, more so for his dramatic improvement. They identified the toolkit where he was going to end up being pretty good. A lot of guys, if they got those kind of targets, would have done a lot less with them. And I think early season Logan Thomas kind of showed you that's what he was going to be. But he improved in every aspect, to me at least, as a Rube just watching him. Over the course of the season, it turned into a legitimate weapon. I mean, think of that in-traffic catch that he made at the back of the end zone against Philadelphia. I mean, that's a legit tight end play. That's not just a guy that's here to block.
No, that was big boy stuff. I mean, I don't think – look, he got better, obviously. That goes without saying. I think any young player gets better. He's not particularly young, but in his case, he's inexperienced.
Young in the role, yeah.
And he's fairly new to the position. So there was a natural progression and development in a new offense at a position he's still kind of learning over the last couple of years. So, yeah, I definitely think he got better. I think it was more better quarterback play, number one. I mean, you're talking about early in the season. Haskins played the first month, who was mostly terrible. For the first six games of the season, you know, he started to trend forward after that. It was a lot of Dwayne Haskins. But I think that's part of it. I think a big part of it, though, is I should say this. Here's what I know. I know that what I was told when they signed him by the people that I talked to in the building is exactly what he became. Now, whether or not he wasn't that and they turned him into that, and your tight ends coach Richard Rodgers and your offensive coordinator Scott Turner get credit for that, it's very possible. But I know that the scouting department, when they put this together, they said this is a guy that in this offense this year could go out, and I thought it was crazy, you know, catch mid-60s passes, 9 or 10 yards per catch, score some touchdowns, and be someone that we can lean on in the passing game at times in the short and intermediate. I think they know he's not a athletic specimen. I think they
it's
know
not
Travis
that he's, Kelce. They know.
Yeah, he's not going to create problems in the seam or vertically, but he's not going to do that this weekend either. But I guess why I even bring him up in this regard in terms of being great is we have seen games where their offense was dead in the water and just stuck. Think Seattle when they lost 20-15. Mm-hmm. And he kind of gave them some type of spark. In that game, he had a 13-catch, 100-yard game. Crazy nugget. Travis Kelce's never done that. I looked that up on Pro Football Reference. Now, I'm not saying he's better than Travis Kelce. But that's a pretty impressive, you don't see it very often, Jason Witten, Darren Waller-y kind of stat line.
Very Zach Ertz against the Redskins stat line.
Exactly.
You know, right?
You have to be thrown to a million times to get that stat line, and he was. Mm-hmm. He got 16 targets in that game as Dwayne Haskins just kind of locked on him incessantly. But I bring that up to say, Danny, I think he could have a game where if things are not going well, you know, it's a 3rd and 9 or something, he catches a contested pass and breaks a tackle and gets a first down. He's always fighting and diving at the sideline. That guy's a max effort all the time. A year from now, I hope he's their tight end too, and I think that's a perfect fit for him. I worry a little bit about if you can have two tight ends that are pass catchers and neither are good blockers, what that looks like. But I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. I just think if we're talking about who has to be great, he has a chance to make this offense a lot better by playing well.
Well, it's about third down conversions, I think, and that's the thing you said best. I mean, it's one thing to be in manageable down a distance. It's one thing to get a couple things early, you know, 1st and 10, whether it's a check down or an effective run, trying to do that against the best run defense in the sport or one of the. This is about sustaining something. And a guy like Logan Thomas, that's what he's here for. He's here to keep you on the football field. So I'm with you in the sense that I think he has to have a, I don't want to say a big game. I don't know that, you know, a 13-catch, 100-plus yard effort is in the cards. I don't think that's realistic. But when I say big, I mean a couple of those third down catches. Maybe a 3rd and 6 gets converted because Thomas makes a play, as you're alluding to, or, you know, is able to fight off a linebacker or a safety, create some separation, make a catch or two in traffic, and God forbid a red zone touchdown instead of, you know, a couple sacks and a field goal attempt from 48 yards, Dustin Hopkins style. I'm with you. He has to play. Well, him and McKissick, your two keys, are, to me, where this bread's going to be buttered this week.
We'll go to the defensive side of the ball next, as you kind of got into, and let's do that and figure out. We'll both name a couple players. We can get some calls on this, too. Who has to be great if Washington is going to pull off this upset of the Tampa Bay Bucs? The AAA Always On Call listener lines are there for you. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in. 800-636-1067. You're listening to Grant and Danny. G&D on a football Friday. One more day until Washington's back in the playoffs. You're locked into the Fan. We just talked about who had to be great on offense if Washington is going to knock off Tampa Bay. So let's move to the defensive side of the ball. 800-636-1067 is the number. We'll get to the phones in just a couple of moments and hit the calls. Danny, who are you spotlighting on defense to lead the charge?
Their most consistent, most productive defensive player this year. The guy that has made countless huge plays, whether it's the tip pass that led to the interception to seal the deal against Pittsburgh, whether it was the tip pass he intercepted himself against the Dallas Cowboys that he rumbled in for a touchdown with. Guy that leads the team in quarterback hits, tackles for a loss, and sacks, Montez Sweat. Work cut out for him. This is a really good offensive front, really good offensive line, and Tom Brady is really tough to deal with. I'm hoping that Sweat, even if he can't get home, which I don't think anybody's really getting home an awful lot in this game, just, you know, the numbers say that, can do that thing where he sticks that big paw with his really long arm up in the air, tips a pass, we get a big play, maybe there's where your pick six comes from. He's got passes defended like he's a cornerback. I mean, it's unbelievable how effective he has been at doing that. He's 3rd on the team behind guys like Darby and Fuller and ahead of safeties and ahead of the other members of the secondary in terms of passes defended because those tip passes. He's big, he's tall, he's fast, he's strong. He's got to have an unbelievable game for this team to win, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I'm going to go with the guy that I think's been their most consistent, most impactful defensive player from really start to finish this season, and that's Jonathan Allen. That's a guy that does it without getting, maybe impactful is not the right word, because I think it's a lot of subtleties, right? But he has the same number of quarterback pressures as Montez Sweat this year, tied for the team lead 47, according to Pro Football Focus. He's got the same number of quarterback hits this year, according to PFF, with a dozen. He's got more quarterback hurries this year, 33 to Sweat's 26. He lives around quarterback's feet. There have been a million times where he's getting thrown to the ground for a holding penalty as a QB's leaving the pocket. I think about that terribly unfortunate play where it was him who was getting thrown into Joe Burrow's legs. No, but he's kind of that's what he's done all year. He's been around and affecting passers at their feet all season long. And this is what I think about when I think stopping Tom Brady. Montez Sweat coming off the edge with his 9 sacks this year, yeah, that's huge. Chase Young, who's got 7.5 sacks, and there's been no one on the team that's made more big plays than him this year. That's big, and those guys have to do something. There's no doubt about that. But to me, it really does start in the interior with Allen and Payne. Not quite as good a pass rusher. He's got 31 pressures, 23 hurries, 4 quarterback hits, and 4 total sacks that he's been involved in this season, according to PFF. You know, if you look at those two guys and Tim Settle, to me, that's more important than the outside. Like, if you say right now, hey, who would you rather have a dominant day? Sweat and Young or Allen Payne and I almost said Ioannidis.
Settle, yeah, I know. I'm so used to doing that, by the way. I've had to stop myself multiple times because that triumvirate is so together.
Allen Payne and Settle. God, do I miss Matt Ioannidis for this game and all season. He's been out since September. But I think it's the big three on the inside. And that doesn't mean that the other two just can be quiet. And dominance for them obviously means sacks. It means takeaways. It means sack fumbles or forcing throws for picks. So maybe I'm even wrong in saying that they're not as important. But I just think in this matchup, Brady cares less about edge pressure and more about what's directly in front of him coming into his lap because we've seen it. He quickly becomes – he's not Tom Brady anymore. He's like Thom Brady or he's Tom Brody. Just that he's a Tim different Brady. Guy, dude. It's and a lot of quarterbacks are, but for him, it's just even starker.
No, it's an astute point, and that's where the trouble comes, right? I mean, you think back to his unfortunate injury so many years ago, and that's where the pressure came from. So whether it's via blitz, you don't want to live and die by that, certainly, because Brady will pick you apart, but whether it's stunts, whether it's games to try to create that central pressure, but that's the key. He sort of scoffs at your out. Go ahead, Dwight Freeney. Go ahead, fast defensive end, and run around the edge. I'll just subtly step up, you know, 6 inches or you know, half a foot. And deliver a dime just in the most frustrating way possible. He can't move fast, but he moves just enough in that very subtle, great pocket feel kind of way. But you have interior pressure that disrupts that. That allows those defensive ends to kind of get home. So those guys are absolutely enormous, huge, huge keys, I think, for this football team. Another guy that comes to mind for me is Jonathan Bostic, a guy that's been up and down this year at Jeeps at times. Remember, he had 3 sacks and was effective as a blitzer. Leads the team in tackles, but I think if you're a sentient human being in the middle of this defense, you'll end up leading the team in tackles, right? Just because of what the defensive line does and the like. But he's got to cover backside of the backfield. He's going to have to cover tight ends at various points. It's not a great matchup for anybody against Rob Gronkowski, a guy that's that big and fast and can move around in that way. But Brate is there as well. I think Bostic has to have a really sound game and keep everything in front of him. To sort of prevent some of those third down conversions, some chunk plays, or some stuff in the running game as well. The run fits have to be there. Just a really solid game from Bostic. And, you know, any big plays that come, nice bonus, but I think he's got to be really effective in this one.
So I like that because I actually think that if the Bucs want to run the ball against Washington, they'll probably be able to. They haven't really shown much of a desperation to do that this year, but you can't give them everything. Like, you know they're going to throw the ball, so you got to force them into some longer downs and distances by not allowing Ronald Jones to run, or when it's Leonard Fournette, not allowing him to get going either. So whether it's Bostic or it's Holcomb, really has been better, I think, consistently against the run. Bostic and Holcomb both with that speed, maybe in the passing game, is more of what you're talking about. You're right, though. They've got to be very sound before you know you get to that last level of defense. I also think, and I won't throw them into the got to be great category, but I will say this. Earlier in the year, I thought it was only a matter of time before they got exposed at safety after the Collins injury. You know, it was Apke or it was Curl. We didn't know what he was yet, and he's been great. Or Jeremy Reeves, who at that time was on the practice squad, and he's been really good as well. But you haven't had vertical passing games like this one. You know, you haven't had Scotty Millers all that
That's
often
good point.
That can catch 50-yard touchdowns while they yawn waking up. You haven't had Antonio Brown to deal with and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. This is the best receiving corps by far that they're dealing with. You get to play teams like the Giants, who can't throw the ball to their receivers. You know, and the Cowboys have some good ones, and on those days they handled their business. But I think it helps that Ben DiNucci was at quarterback. Andy Dalton left the game early. And the second time you played them, they're throwing from behind every single down. So this is their stiffest test, as far as I'm concerned,
right,
in the back end of that secondary. Let's go to Chris, who's in Hyattsville on line one. Chris, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. First of all, you know I had to call in today in light of the big news. Congratulations.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you very much.
I just want to say, as a P1 since day one, very proud, very proud. My boys are all grown up. And I fell in love with you guys. I think the first time I fell in love with you guys, your show was on Matt Jones Day when you came in and we thought Matt Jones was the second coming of,
Jerome Bettis.
John Riggins or something like that. You blared up the Hall & Oates and all my favorite bits going back to what are you eating and winning off the field. So really happy for you guys. The only downside to this, though, is that now I have to reschedule all of my work meetings from afternoons and mornings to middays, which is a big challenge.
You and us both, my friend. Someone texted me the other day, and they're like, hey, we need to do this. And I'm like, okay, anytime after 2. Like, that's what I've said for years. So now it's anytime before, let's say, 10:30. Very weird.
Yeah, and I also think I had a small part of this for, banging the monkey and CK trying to get you guys on drive time. So, anyway, as for the game, that's a Rome reference. I know you guys got that.
I did, thank you.
So, anyway, as for the game, I've got two sort of unsung heroes. Number one, Terrence Trent D'Arby. I think he's got to have a big game. Because, look, this is a high-octane passing offense. I know they may be without Evans, but still, you're talking about Antonio Brown, who's the greatest, probably the number one or two receiver of the last decade, right? And Godwin they've got Gronk. So that's just, one of the great relationships between quarterback and receiver of all time. So the secondary has got to come up big. And then also on the offensive side, Cornelius Lucas. He's going to be under a lot of duress all day. We know that Smith can't hold the ball for more than 2.2 seconds. So, obviously, we expect guys like Moses and Cousin Chase Rouye and Brandon Scherff to do what they've been doing all season. And I actually have been happy with the performance of all the skill players for most of the season. But I think that left side offensive line has really got to have one of their best days of the year, if there is even – any chance of them winning this game. But again, congrats, guys, and looking forward to rerouting my entire schedule for the rest of 2021.
Thank you, buddy. Really appreciate the kind words. So on the pass rushing for the Bucs, they move JPP and Shaq Barrett around a little bit, mm-hmm. but I think most of the time, JPP and Ndamukong Suh are over the right side. So, in other words, the left tackle, Cornelius Lucas, is going to be dealing a lot with Ndamukong Suh for sure at defensive end, and then plenty of JPP. Now, it's not like it matters, because when they flip sides, it's Shaq Barrett, who had almost 20 sacks last year. So one way or the other, you're getting a pretty established, terrific edge rusher. And Moses is going to have his hands full, to Chris's point, on the other side as well. So I think it's an astute phone call. We could take more of your calls on the matchup at AAA. Always on call listener lines, 800-636-1067 are open right now. Next, our confidence point predictions. How are we assigning our 50, 40, 30, 20, and 10 points to these 6 games? We'll do it next. Yeah, this music in January just feels right, doesn't it? G&D on the Fan, brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. It is time for our confidence points. Tommy and Danny enter the playoffs, tied for the lead. Dar and myself trying to play catch-up in the second season. The way this works, 6 playoff games this weekend. We each pick 5 of them to assign our confidence points to. We get 50, 40, 30, 20, and 10-point games to assign. So let's go in the order of the standings. And, Danny, we will start with you, your 50-point play in Super Wild Card Weekend, as they're calling it.
We're going to start with the Ben standings. Very well. This is the one game, and this is probably a kiss of death, that I feel the best about. That's why I'm giving up my 50-pointer. I don't believe in the Rams. I don't believe in their offense. I think the defense is good. I'm taking Russell Wilson against whoever's taking snaps for the Rams. Give me Seattle -3. I believe they cover in a first-round win.
Wow. I got that at the bottom of my confidence points. I liked how this is starting already. Tommy, you are next. You're tied with Danny. What is your first pick toward taking the lead?
Well, this isn't getting off to a great start. I'm actually following Danny's lead with my 50-point play, Seattle minus 3. I don't like how Sean McVay has been close to the vest all week about who's going to be at quarterback. I think the number's too short. Seattle probably wins by a touchdown either way. Seattle minus 3.
Brendan?
I'm going to make that 3 for 3, especially feeling better about that if it's John Wolford. I mean, that line will probably go up to 4, 5, or 6 if he's starting over Goff. We obviously won't know, but for now, minus 3 sounds good.
You guys have me second-guessing myself because I'm going the other way, and I'm making it my 10-point play.
All
right, I'm going to go 50-pointer, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, minus 8 against the Washington football team. What line are you guys using officially at the Darren and Thami book from this morning that you saw?
I have 8. It was at 8.5, and it got bought back down to 8, so 8 it is.
Okay, a little bit of an emotional hedge here. I also just think this is a 10-11-point game. I don't think Washington's offense is good enough. I think in order to stay within a possession, defense has to dominate, going to be difficult, and they're going to have to score a touchdown to even be close to having a shot in the fourth quarter. I think that's a lot to ask of a defense to go into a game saying you have to score when you don't get to possess the ball. So Tampa Bay minus 8, 50 points for me.
Little bit of a smell test here. Hold on, let me see this. So I'm looking at this spread. It's basically stayed huge, and the world is trying to beg me to take the Chicago Bears, and I won't do it. The New Orleans Saints, my 40-point play, they win by more than 10. Get rid of these paper tigers. Get rid of these frauds that are the Chicago Bears. Dismissed. You go home and go find a quarterback. Saints minus 10.
All right, here comes the variation. 40-point play, Buffalo minus 6.5 against the Colts. I think it's too short. It's one of these things where the best teams are going to win. I know that that's, you know, a platitude or whatever you want to call it, but this is the playoffs now. The real teams are going to show up. That if you look at any sort of DFS optimizer for players this week, they're all over every Bills offensive player this week. Everyone's projecting that it's going to be Buffalo big. Buffalo minus 6.5, 40-point play.
We've reached the portion of the show where I no longer feel confident in any of my bets.
Here we are.
Yeah.
We've done it. It
only took one. So I'm going to go with the Steelers minus 6 because Browns are kind of in flux here. I don't know what to expect. I don't know. So I'm going to go with what I do know, and that's the Steelers are pretty good on defense. They're not bad. The offense is awful to watch, but I think they can get more than 7 points. I'm not sure if the Browns will with whatever's going on with them.
Yeah, you're betting basically against Cleveland amid all the COVID chaos, which I totally get. 40-point play for me. Give me the Ravens minus 3. Is that the line you guys have?
Yeah, I have 3.
All right, I'll take it. I was hoping for, you know, maybe 2.5 somewhere, but I'll take the minus 3. That is what I've seen. Earlier in the week, it was 3.5, so it's even come a little bit further down. But my thought on this is very simple. I just think the Ravens are rolling. And I know that the Titans are good, and this game is going to be great. My fear is that it's a field goal game, and I lose on a push. But I'm going to roll with this. I think the Ravens, who have lost their last 2 playoff games, come in as motivated as you can be to put their best foot forward. They need to keep their season alive, and they're trying to prove a lot of people wrong. Lamar Jackson is due in January. So give me the Ravens to beat the Titans, and it wouldn't shock me if they won by 8 or 9 points. You stop Henry, you stop the Titans.
30-pointer for your pal. I would take it at 8.5. I'd take it at 9. I might even take it at 9.5. 10, I'd start to hesitate. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think, win by double digits against my beloved Washington football team. 30-pointer, Tampa Bay.
30-point play. Somebody, we're both tied right now. Danny, Tom, both tied at the top of confidence points. Somebody will win this game. Somebody will lose this game. Chicago Bears plus 10 against New Orleans. There is no possible way I'm laying 10 points in the playoffs. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it was the Jets. I'm not laying double digits in the playoffs. Chicago Bears plus 10. Let's go. 30-point play.
Attaboy. Thami barking with the dogs, it sounds like.
The Kettle Club.
The Kettle Club, baby. It worked for your boy at our Super Bowl event and our March Madness events in the past. All right, I'm going to go. Dar, I don't want to jump the line. It's your turn, I suppose.
I am also going to follow Danny on this one and take the Bucks minus 8, and I will allow you to get in your 30-point play here, too.
I'm going to go Colts plus 6.5. I'm zigging when Thami zags. I don't know why everybody is thinking this is going to be a blowout. And maybe I'll look like a fool. I know that the Bills are a better team. I just kind of told myself a couple weeks ago, if the Colts get in, that looks like a team that'll win a playoff game, and I'm going to ride with them. And then I got this line. I figured it'd be, you know, maybe like 3 or something like that. 6.5 feels large to me, so I'm gonna go defense and run game Indianapolis. Phil Rivers, don't turn the ball over. Don't make me look like a silly goose.
Echo, everything you just said. Colts plus 6.5. I think it's a little bit too big. Buffalo wins, but the Colts make it ugly.
Okay, 20-point play. Baltimore minus 3 against Tennessee. I'm with you, Grant, in the idea that if you stop Henry, that stops the whole offense. I'm not as confident as some of the other people that are playing this game. That's why it's a 20-point play. Baltimore minus 3. I like the line. It feels right, but I'm going with the Ravens.
Josh Allen is the ultimate chaos agent. I don't know what to expect from him. I like that you guys are on Colts plus 6.5. I wish I could do it. Tommy's on Bills 6.5. I am skipping that game entirely.
Wow.
I am taking the Saints to cover the spread, 10 points. I have zero faith in Mitch Trubisky. He can't hang a Louis. He can't turn left. He can't do it. Saints, cover the 10.
I'm not even touching that game, by the way, because I don't know what I don't know. There's something about it that doesn't make sense, so I don't like it. So two of you guys are on the Saints. Tommy is on the Bears. I think I would have taken the Bears if I took the game, probably. The line's just too big. 20-pointer, Steelers minus 6. I don't think their offense is good enough to cover 6 in a normal world. And if the Browns had Stefanski on the sideline and their entire team available, I might have even picked them outright money line in this game. But because of their terrible COVID situation ongoing and their virtual week that they've had, Steelers minus 6, I think they outclassed them this week.
That's my 10-pointer. The game I'm not touching is Baltimore-Tennessee. I have no idea how that one's going to go. Oh, let me be fair. I have no idea how any of these are going to go. And my most confident one is probably going to be right down in the potty. But I've got Pittsburgh minus 6. Quite simply, Cleveland has the COVIDs, and they haven't practiced. I think that's going to be a factor.
I don't feel good about it. I hate it. I have to hold my nose. It's a reason why it's the 10-point play. This is a team that I root for. This is a team that I care so much about. This is a team that we are talking about going undefeated about 12 weeks into the year. Then they lost every game in the rest of the regular season. I still have to lay the 6. The Cleveland Browns don't have a coach. Pittsburgh minus 6, 10-point play. Please don't let me get down, Steelers.
So the pick I'm about to make, I have to admit, I disagree with it. I think the Ravens are going to win, but I need to differentiate myself here. I need to get a game that you guys are not taking.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Yeah.
So I am stuck between a rock and a hard place with Titans Ravens and a game I have absolutely no idea who's going to win in Colts and Bills, and that line doesn't make any sense to me either. I'm going to take the Titans and just hope that being the only person who takes it gets me 10 points.
Smart. I'm doing that right here as well, Dar. I actually thought about moving this up the board when I heard the way it went early in this game, just to help myself, because I'm right now, I can't win unless something crazy happens. So my 10-point play, I got the Rams plus 3. I actually do like this a little bit. I don't think Wolford's particularly good. I don't think he's awful, though. I think he can run around and make plays, and I think that could provide some problems for Seattle's defense. Plus 3, I feel good about. It's a division game. These teams always play close anyway. And Goff might go. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but he might actually go. So I've got the Rams plus 3. Just real quick, for my own benefit around the horn, what game did you guys not touch? Danny, which one didn't? You said Ravens, right?
Ravens-Titans, yeah.
And then, Thommy, you left which one out?
I left out the football team. I don't feel good about that. I don't like the number being at 8. I might get involved in a teaser play, maybe a 3-team teaser, but I'm not touching it at 8. It seems like a weird number. I'm staying away.
And, Dar, you were Bills-Colts?
Yep.
So the game that I can't do is the Saints and the Bears. Thom said this really well. That's too big of a line in the playoffs for me. But I also, to Dar's point, I can't possibly bet on Mitch Trubisky. Like, for a couple weeks, I put some money away in this little pool just by going bet against Mitch. So it's hard for me to pick either side of that. But there you go. Those are our picks. We will post them for you. I can post them on Twitter at Grant H. Paulson at the start of play tomorrow afternoon. Dar keeps them for us, and I'll do a little screen grab of our spreadsheet. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's put a bow on the week on this Football Friday and get deeper into our predictions for Washington football next. John Keim of ESPN just tweeted that he was told Alex Smith feels good today. He's also been told the big test will be how he feels tomorrow morning. I think that's obvious. Says not having the extra day impacts the situation, but if Smith feels tomorrow like he did today, he will give it a go. I'd be stunned if he doesn't start. I mean, I think that the narrative, that the dialogue, everything we heard all week coming out of Ashburn would have been a little bit different if his status was actually in question as far as starting. And if Heinicke runs out there for the opening snap, then egg on my face. But I really do believe he'll begin the game. My question is, how capable will he be? How will the calf hold up as he's trying to plant and throw? How mobile will he be? And if it's the same as it was against the Eagles, then I do think we're going to see Taylor Heinicke at some point. I really believe that.
Well, I think that's a pretty good assessment. I think to me this is about can you like, you know, the eye contact with the coach, right? When the manager goes out to the mound to talk to the starting pitcher. Can you still do this? Can you still go? And I think if the answer is yes, Alex Smith's going to stay in the game. I think just sort of, the character of Rivera and sort of, trying to get guys to pull the rope in the same direction and the honor, integrity of the culture he's trying to establish. Well, there's no better exemplar of that than Alex Smith and what he's overcome and what he's gone through and, jerks like me yelling about how ineffective he is. I think he's going to ride with Alex Smith until it becomes impossible to do so. I do agree, by the way, that we're going to see Heinicke. I never said the guy's name right. And I think it's going to be because finally that calf locks up and Smith just can't. He just can't protect himself, can't get out of the way, et cetera. And it's going to be like that, honestly, I'm not trying to dredge up bad memories, but it's going to be like that Griffin Cousins Seattle home game where it just became painfully obvious after a while that Griffin just wasn't right and, something, God forbid, goes in that direction. But I think that's how it's going to end up going in terms of Heinicke playing.
27-16 Bucks. I hate to say it, but that's where I'm at. And I think you get to the 16 late, maybe. I think it's an added field goal or maybe a punch a touchdown across. I don't believe we're in blowout territory the entire game, but I think it's fairly clear from early on that Tampa Bay is out in front and better. And the question is, like, can something crazy happen defensively to get you back into or keep you in the game? It'll feel like, kind of like that Carolina game, honestly, when they were down 20-3, and even though they came back, you didn't really ever think they were going to win. But I think 27-16 final. I think Brady throws for something around 235 or 240. I think they rush for over 100 yards, mostly late. I think Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette wear Washington's defense down, and they get up over 100 in this game. And the defense does not score the touchdown that they need to. Offensively, I think it'll be a struggle, and they'll slog through it. But I just don't see them scoring many points, which has been the case most of the year. Best player in the game, MVP of the game, I will say Chris Godwin. Goes for 100 and a touchdown.
30-20 is what I've got. I think Tampa ends up with, maybe a turnover or a defensive either score or get Tampa into a good position. Washington gets down, claws back because that's the integrity. That's the toughness of this team, but just doesn't have enough. And I think just to troll you, I think the way this is going to go is that Antonio Brown has a massive game, which I know will will grind your gears like nobody's business. I think that's how this ends up going, unfortunately.
Well, you know me well. That will annoy me. I think anybody having a big game will annoy me. I'm still bothered and annoyed that he's in the NFL, but one thing I'm decent at is, like, in terms of holding grudges or being mad in the moment, like, I'm not sitting here rooting against him week in and week out. I just think it's a shame that he's been given an opportunity that I don't think he earned. And it didn't do anything to warrant other than being good at football. And I'm not really sure why Tom Brady's infatuated with him, but I'd love to get more information on that.
They're
at some
boys.
Point.
They love each other. They
give me a
30
for 30 eventually on why Tom Brady constantly wants to live with Antonio Brown. And then worked his butt off to just force feed him the ball to get him a couple hundred G's this past week. You know what they say, man? Good things happen to good people, I guess. But yeah, I could definitely see him having a monster game. If you missed the announcement earlier today, we are moving to afternoon drive starting on Monday. So as of Monday, you will hear us at 2 o'clock to 6:30. Right here on 106.7 The Fan, day in and day out. We're really excited about that. Enjoy all the playoff football. And Danny, we had a great show. Logan Paulson, Joe Theismann, and Ross Tucker. If anybody missed any of that, they should use radio.com rewind.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Same show. We're just going to figure out when all the different segments and times go. But we'll enjoy this journey together. Thanks to everybody for everything over the years. Thanks to Grant, our producers, and everyone else. Man, really appreciate it. We're excited.
Talk to you guys on Monday. Thanks for the time. Enjoy the weekend. Good luck to the football team.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.